Support for this show comes from Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. With Splunk, you get more control with unified security and observability, so you can sidestep those disruptions. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast, so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. Some of the world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. Splunk lets you react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience.
Hello and welcome to episode 74 of the podcast to be named later. I am Chris Willis, and I'm joined again tonight by my good friend Stephen Talbert. Stephen, how are you doing?
Chris, welcome back to the show, buddy. It's always good to have you back. I'm doing well. We've got some interesting things to hit on today. We're less than almost exactly 2 weeks from opening day. Opening day is, I think, 2 weeks from tomorrow. So it's coming. You know, real baseball is almost here. It's an exciting time of year just to be a sports fan in general. But I'm doing good, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, we're to that point in spring training now where, you know, it's kind of the dog days. You know, the rosters have been pared down. The position battles are really in view, and in some cases, as we're fixing to talk about, you know, kind of decided, I think. So, you know, it's opening days right around the corner, and, it's going to be here. It's going to be here before we know it. But let's jump straight into this. I wrote today for the site. The third version of my roster projection for opening day. And we're going to kind of go through the position battles that are settled, the ones that aren't settled. You know, the Braves came in, didn't have a ton of question marks, but they've really optioned a lot of guys over the last week or so. So things are starting to become much clearer. Obviously, one of the big headlines there is the battle for the fifth starter spot. And, you know, this week probably didn't, I don't want to read too much into spring training performances because you never know what the backdrop is. You know, sometimes guys struggle. Sometimes they're working on things. Sometimes they don't really care what the line looks like. It's more about, you know, how they were working on. But, you know, Reynaldo Lopez and Bryce Elder both struggled a little bit this week. Lopez, I'll give him credit. You know, he did exit an inning in the second, and I think he did come back in the third. He never really did look like what we saw early in camp, but he was able to avoid significant damage. Bryce Elder pitched tonight. We're recording this on Wednesday night. Struggled against the Orioles, gave up 5 runs in 4 1/3 innings. I think the bigger thing that jumps out to me on Elder's line was 3 walks, because that's the type of thing that's gotten him in trouble in the past, is the elevated walk rate. So fifth starter spot, you know, I don't know. I put Lopez in there with Elder starting the year at AAA. I kind of feel like that's the way it's going to be, but I'm kind of curious to see what you think about the fifth starter battle.
Yeah, so it's going to be very interesting, like with Lopez specifically. So let's start with Lopez. Everyone knows that he's going to pitch with less velocity as a starter than he did as a reliever. Like, that's not surprising. That's fairly normal for guys who have done both roles. And last year as a reliever, he was throwing 99, 100, 101 pretty consistently. One of the hardest throwing relievers in baseball last year. And so I don't think anybody expects that in terms of a starter. Right. But the question is, how low will his velocity go once we get to, you know, once he's built up to 5-6 innings, or however much they're going to build him up, which I guess is a separate question in itself. But once they build him up to the level they want to build him up to, where does the velocity sit? Like, where does it kind of land? And once we know that number, is that number high enough to keep him as an effective starter? And that's kind of the interesting question with Reynaldo right now. And, you know, it's been the question for why, you know, a lot of people ask why change his role to begin with when he's been such an elite reliever. You know, he's not going to throw 101 as a starter. Most guys don't. Most guys aren't Spencer Strider. Most guys can't sit 100 miles an hour for, you know, 5-6 innings. And so that's the that's what I'm interested in. I want to know when Ronaldo Lopez gets to the level of built up that the Braves are going are happy with. Where does the fastball velocity sit? Like in his last start, he was like 93, 94, and that was StatCast data, so that you can be pretty sure that's accurate. Is that his level? Like, is that where he's going to pitch as a starter? Is he going to be more like 95, 96? And, you know, these might sound like small differences, but it's really not. And you can ask hitters about the difference between pitching or hitting against 93 versus 95, 95 versus 97. It's a big difference. And you can see, obviously, in the results, you know, when guys start throwing harder, how much better they are as pitchers, typically. They just miss more bats. So that's what I'm going to be interested in. I think the Braves are interested as well. I think that is a big part of this fifth starter battle is what does Ronaldo look like as a starter? Because he hasn't done it since 2019, basically. You know, he's not a young guy. He's like 30. I think he just turned 30. So he's not old, but he's not a young guy either. So, you know, what does it look like, basically? What does his stuff look like as a starter once he's built up to the level they want to build him up? And then with Elder, I mean, it's just kind of the same. Like Elder, you know, the ceiling on Elder is much lower than Lopez. I think we've said that before. You know, the walks are always an issue. He doesn't have great command for somebody who doesn't actually throw that hard. So, you know, it limits his ceiling. People kind of know what Bryce Elder is at this point, if I'm being honest. So, you know, do they prefer that? Do they prefer the higher upside with Lopez? It's going to be fascinating. And I tend to think that it's Lopez's job right now. I agree with you. The only thing that would put a wrench in that is if they're not happy with where the stuff is sitting once he gets built up to 5-6 innings. So that's kind of the interesting part that we still need to see.
Yeah, and I think part of the calculus is if you're going to try this experiment with Ronaldo Lopez, the easiest time to do that is the start of the season because you can stretch him out in spring training. Once he goes to the bullpen, then it becomes a challenge to stretch him out again. Even if he started the season, which I've got a scenario in a minute I want to talk about, but even if he started the season in the bullpen, it's still going to be a challenge to keep him stretched out if, you know, it goes two turns through the rotation. You know, he's not going to be a 5-6 inning guy, at least that first time out, more than likely. You know, I think they'll want to keep him on a regular schedule at first, and they'll probably give him some length, you know, to try it as a starter. But once he goes to the bullpen, I kind of feel like he's going to be a reliever, at least for the rest of the season. And I still, when I look at him, I mean, we'll have to see what happens. I mean, you know, baseball season's long. We don't know what things are going to look like once we get to October. But he still looks like a completely, you know, just a dynamic weapon to have in the postseason as a guy whose velocity is going to tick up if he's just throwing one or two innings, you know, and a guy you could use at all times. But, you know, I get it. If you want to get a look at him as a starter, it makes a whole lot more sense to do that now than it would 2 months into the season, because you're just about, I mean, in that scenario, you're almost thinking he's probably going to have to be hurt and be on a rehab assignment to get stretched back out, you know, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And the other thing I'll say is, you know, how it appears from the outside at this point in spring training isn't always what's true internally, right? And it was exactly at this time last year where you and I and Scott and Brad were all talking that Vaughn Grissom has, you know, run away with a shortstop battle. Like he played great in spring. He hit well. He played good defense. And everybody was, you know, on these shows saying, you know, Vaughn Grissom's kind of won this job. And we know how that turned out. The Braves internally just never felt comfortable with it, despite what seemed like pretty decent results on the field. And, you know, we got the opening day shocker when neither Shoemaker or Grissom were on the team and Arcia was the starting shortstop. So we could be dead wrong. I think we both think it's Lopez at the moment just because he's looked better, but who knows? I mean, internally they might be saying, you know what? He's just so much better as a reliever. You know, we just need to put him in that role and just let him be, because you can understand that. Yeah. You can understand that sentiment. That's got logic to it. So it's going to be fascinating. I don't think this competition's done. I don't think it's decided, but it's also important to note that how it looks, you know, how it's being perceived from the outside isn't always what's actually going on.
Agreed. And another scenario that I really haven't looked too closely at, but I know when the Braves open the season, they play on opening day and then there's an off day on the next day. I haven't looked to see when they're technically going to need a fifth starter, but because of that first off day, they're at least going to have one trip through the rotation where they don't have to use it. Now, I think this is interesting. In the past, we've seen them take advantage of this. Last season, they only began the season with four starters. I kind of feel like this is what I was kind of alluding to a minute ago. I don't think it'll be interesting to see how they handle Lopez if they give him that fifth spot if he doesn't pitch the first time through. You can put him in the bullpen, but again, you got to keep him stretched out. So you know, basically, you would still have five starters on the roster, but technically, Lopez would probably either piggyback with somebody or pitch a multiple two or three inning relief appearance in there before slotting back into the rotation. So that is an option. It is something to keep an eye on. I mean, technically, it could have ramifications on the bullpen if they elected to go a different route, if they elected to just carry one less starter and put Lopez in the bullpen. You could have actually an extra reliever in that scenario. So, it's something to keep an eye on. I think the Braves haven't announced their opening day roster yet. I mean, opening day pitcher yet. I mean, we pretty much know the four starters that are going to be there provided they're healthy. But, I think it's going to be interesting to see how they slot them in, because they also have this opportunity to just go ahead and pitch Lopez on turn and give guys like Chris Sale and Charlie Morton a couple of extra days off, as they begin the season.
Yeah, so just pulling up the Braves schedule right now. So they open up obviously Thursday in Philly, and then they have the standard off day immediately after, just in case there's a rain out. And then they play five straight games. They play Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, two against the Phillies, three against the White Sox. So that last game against the White Sox, obviously anytime there's five games in a row, that's when you're going to need a fifth starter. So that last game versus the White Sox is the first time they'll need their fifth starter. So as you were saying, we're going to learn, obviously who makes the team is going to be a big clue as to what they're doing. But, we're going to learn pretty early what they have to do, because they are going to need a fifth starter pretty soon when the season starts. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't have a good feel for this. Last year with Grissom, I thought I had a good feel and I was dead wrong. So, maybe, who knows? But I think I have always preferred Lopez as a reliever. I think I've said that a couple times, even when they signed him to the big contract. I think he's just shown that he's an elite reliever versus an average starter. And I get the argument that an average starter can technically be more valuable than elite relievers, but the Braves are the Braves are World Series hunting. And when you get to October, I kind of rather have the elite reliever versus just the average starter. Cause is Ronaldo Lopez going to make a postseason start for you? It's unlikely. So, but we'll see. There's a long way to go. There's a lot of injuries that are probably going to happen between now and even maybe opening day, certainly between now and October. So a lot can happen, but just on talent, I prefer him as a reliever, and we'll see what they do.
Yeah. And I mean, under that scenario too, where, they'll need the fifth starter in the second series. I think at that point you do what I just said, you just pitch Reynaldo on turn, and it gives everybody else an extra day. So, yeah, but it will be interesting to see. I mean, those are the type of decisions that are left. I mean, we're just over a couple of weeks from opening day, and, that stuff's not decided. Real quick before we move to the bullpen, who's your opening day starter?
I would go Spencer. I thought Spencer was the best pitcher on the team last year. I think Spencer's the best pitcher. He's been the best pitcher in spring training. I think he's the best pitcher on the team this year. I understand that Max Fried is going to be loved by Braves fans for a long, long time, as he should be, especially with, his heroics in 2021 for the World Series. But yeah, I would go Spencer. I think he's the best pitcher. And I don't know if it's more I don't know if it needs to be more complicated than that. I just think he's better. Max has had a little bit of an up and down spring. He's been pretty solid. I mean, it hasn't been bad, but I just think Spencer is better at this point. And I would go Spencer 1, Max 2. And then I guess you could probably have a whole nother conversation about who sits 3-4. But yeah, I would go Spencer 1.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's the way I'm leaning too. And I mean, the good thing about this is, we make a big deal about who starts on opening day, and after that, it never matters anymore because rotations get juggled, guys get extra off days. You know, very seldom does it work out where number one faces another number one. I mean, it happens in the regular season, but it doesn't happen all the time. So we make more a bigger deal about it than we should. But again, I think Spencer's earned it. And, you know, I think if I had the decision, I would go Spencer Strider. But again, there's no wrong answer. You know, it's not like Max Fried hasn't looked good in the spring either, but he's not been nearly as dominant as Strider has. But I think after you look at the season Spencer had last year, you know, I think you have to reward him, with that opening day start. But, that'll be interesting. That'll be interesting to see. I'm kind of curious as when they're going to announce that because some teams already have and the Braves haven't. So, all right, moving on to the bullpen. You know, I wrote this today. I got a little bit of pushback, and I understand that. But if you look at the roster, who's been sent down, who's still in camp, this bullpen is pretty much set. Now, obviously, they can recall guys. So, you know, they can still make changes. But I think what we have now kind of – puts itself as what we're probably going to see on opening day. Obviously, Raisel Iglesias, AJ Minter, Pierce Johnson, Joe Jimenez, Aaron Bummer are locks. The last three, I have Tyler Matzek, Dylan Lee, and Jackson Stevens. Brave earlier this week reassigned Ken Giles to the to minor league camp where he could get more innings. You know, I was intrigued by Giles after seeing him in the spring for those two or three appearances. And then Ray Kerr was also sent down, which I thought was good news for Dylan Lee. Kerr's got options. We knew there was a good chance he was probably going to start the season at Gwinnett. Were you surprised when they sent Giles down after the way he had looked fairly impressive early in camp?
Yeah, I was. You know, all the beat writers, kind of everybody in camp, was kind of stoking the flame a little bit that, you know, Giles had really impressed. You know, the week before they had sent Daisbell Hernandez down pretty early, which was also a little bit of an eyebrow raiser. And people speculated that was because, you know, Giles had really kind of taken that last spot in the bullpen, last right-handed spot in the bullpen. And so when they sent Giles down as well, it definitely was interesting because I was starting to think he was on his way. Now, obviously, he's got a ton of injury history. He hasn't pitched in forever. They're going to take it pretty slow with him. They don't have much invested, so it's a low risk, you know, proposition. But obviously, if you handle it right and you get him right, then the reward can be pretty significant. So they're obviously going to take it slow with him. But yeah, so I was surprised. I thought Giles would have had the inside track on the last spot. You know, like you said, technically, it's not decided. They can still call guys up, but in the past, who they option in terms of, you know, who stays in major league camp, who gets optioned to minor league camp, has mattered in terms of the opening day roster. Like, they typically do not call guys back up unless there's an injury. It's a pretty good indication of how the team's thinking, what direction they're at least going to start the season with. And so, yeah, like, I agree with you. I mean, if you just look at the bodies that are in camp still, it's pretty easy. I mean, you know, Oscar Ynoa is kind of the only guy, but he had that, he had some soreness at some point in camp, and I don't think he's started back. I don't think they've actually had him pitch since then. I don't think he's ramped back up yet. So he's obviously not going to be ready for opening day. So, I mean, really the only question is for the bullpen is what they're going to do with Ronaldo. I mean, that's kind of the only, that's kind of the only piece left to place, really. And if he's in the rotation, then like you said, the bullpen's set. I mean, these guys that are left are going to be it.
Yeah, I think the other question to keep an eye on a little bit is Tyler Matzek. You know, there was talk early in camp that he might need a rehab assignment to start the season. Was pretty impressive. You know, we had a little misdirection on the velocity, but you know, it turned out that the velocity was, you know, pretty close to where it's been, 94, 95. You know, it's really hard to trust radar readings in the spring because not every park is sharing StatCast data. So, but it sounds like, but it also this week we've learned that Matzek had a little bit of a soreness. You know, I don't know if it was an oblique and that delayed him a couple of days. So I think he's somebody to watch. You know, if Matzik needed to start the season on the IL, you could go a couple of different ways. You could go to Ken Giles, you know, Ray Kerr, if you want that another lefty, you know, an extra lefty in the bullpen to replace Matzik, you could go Ray Kerr there. So, you know, I don't think it's completely set in stone. But if you just look at who's remaining in camp, then, you know, obviously this is kind of the group you've got here. One question I got today is, you know, how does Jackson Stevens make this? And I've had Jackson Stevens in all three of versions of my roster projection for the one reason is because the main reason is because I had Reynaldo Lopez in the rotation. If you look at this group of relievers, Stevens is the only guy that is capable of going multiple innings. I don't personally don't think that that's something that should necessarily decide roster spots, because I think if you handle things correctly, but again, early in the season, you know, with guys like Chris Sale, Charlie Morton, who's got a, you know, a good bit of mileage on them, you know, Jackson Stevens could fill a role if one of those guys gets knocked out early. And so that's why I've got him here. He's out of options. If they, you know, if they, I think there's a good chance they could get him through waivers, but we know from the past that this is a guy that they really like. And, you know, he, unfortunately he wasn't healthy last year. Didn't see nearly as many opportunities because of that, but it's a guy that they, he's performed in that role before. So as of right now, and he's still in camp. And I think that's the most important thing to look at right now. You know, Jackson Stevens is still in camp. Ken Giles, Ray Kerr, they're not. So, you know, that's why I've got him there. But, you know, how important do you think having that guy that could possibly go two or three innings out of the bullpen, how important is that, especially if Reynaldo Lopez is a starter and Bryce Elder is at Gwinnett?
I think it's actually a role that's decently important, if nothing else, to save innings for other guys. If you're getting blown out, it's 12-1, whether you're winning or losing. And you don't want to pitch your main guys. You know, it's nice to have a guy that you can throw in. You know, the Braves have had that guy for the last few years. Somebody who can maybe pitch the last three innings and save the rest of the bullpen. You know, they've done it with Colin McHugh. They've done it with Jesse Chavez. They did it with Josh Tomlin. Like, it seems like they always have a guy who is kind of blowout insurance, right? Like, the game has been decided one way or the other. There's not going to be any more high leverage for the rest of the night. We're just trying to get to the finish line and save the bullets for the other guys. So, you know, send this guy out there to finish the last three innings. So, yeah, I mean, this team doesn't currently have that without Jackson Stevens. Even like if Ronaldo was on the team, he's too much of a high leverage guy to use in that role anyways. So that's an interesting part of what the 2024 Braves are going to look like, is they don't have that guy at the moment unless Jackson Stevens can kind of fill that role. Now, Dylan Lee has done it a little bit. He's been a multi-inning guy at points in his career. Hoskari Noah, you know, if he gets back healthy, could definitely be a multi-inning guy since he's a starter technically. So the Braves do have options for that spot, but they do use that spot a lot actually, because the quality of their offense, they do play a lot of blowouts. Even, you know, with a good team like the Braves, there are going to be nights where you get blown out. Having somebody that can come in and mop up the last three or four innings is actually pretty important, and it saves a lot of innings on your bullpen. So that's one of the things I'm interested to see about this version of the team is Jackson Stevens that guy? Did they get somebody else for that guy? Because it is a role that matters more than probably, I think, casual fans probably think about.
Yeah. And I mean, that's an important thing that I hadn't really thought about. You know, if you look at last year's bullpen, at times you had Colin McHugh and Jesse Chavez. And when you look at this bullpen, I'm not saying these guys can't pitch multiple innings. I mean, we've seen Tyler Matzik do it in the past. You know, I'm sure Pierce Johnson can throw, you know, he could go get you four or five outs if you needed him to. He'd probably get you two innings if you needed him to, you know, at times. And we've seen AJ Minter do it. But those are guys that aren't accustomed to that. You know, I mean, we've seen Colin McHugh come in early and pitch three innings. You know, you've seen Jesse Chavez come in early, throw two or three innings. So, you know, that is a different dynamic for this bullpen. And another thing, you know, it's important to kind of talk about too, is the whole options thing. You know, we having some flexibility down there has been an important topic all winter, because they didn't really have that flexibility last year. Dylan Lee still has an option. So, you know, if you needed a fresh arm down there, he could go to Gwinnett. Now, it remains to be seen if, you know, if they would do that, because Dylan Lee before the shoulder injury last year was emerging as one of their better relievers. You know, obviously the shoulder injury wrecked that. And, you know, he had this, he had a procedure this off season, and, you know, it's looked pretty good in camp. I think he threw 1 2/3 scoreless innings actually tonight too. So, you know, he's continued, you know, I know his ERA still, spring ERA still high. He had one bad outing, but I think overall he's still kind of working back into shape. You know, I don't know because of that. I mean, would you want Matzik or Lee to be able to go multiple innings early in the season? Maybe not. I don't know. So anyway, I think there's a spot for Jackson Stevens to start the season, and then we'll just see how long he can hold on to that. And a lot of that's tied to Lopez, because as you mentioned just a few minutes ago, this picture changes if Lopez goes to the bullpen, if provided they make the switch and they put him in the bullpen. You know, maybe not as a, even if he doesn't pitch that first term, but they're still looking at him as a starter. But if they look at him solely as a reliever, then I think it's pretty easy. You would either knock Jackson Stevens off this list, or you would option Dylan Lee and carry Lopez and Stevens. And then, you know, you would have a little bit more of that lefty depth down in the down at Gwinnett, you know. So that's kind of what I'm thinking. But, you know, what do you think this picture looks like if Lopez actually does go to the bullpen?
Well, and what I'll add to that conversation is, and we're not terribly well versed on this because obviously we haven't seen him pitch for the Braves, but Aaron Bummer, I looked this up not long after the trade, cause I just wanted to see like how he was used. Was he a one inning guy? Was he two inning guy? The White Sox actually used him for multiple innings more than once last year. And so, you know, that might be an underrated guy to fill that role. You know, Bummer's probably not going to be like one of the top three or four relievers on the team. You know, you don't have to necessarily save him for your highest leverage spots, especially with Minter on the team. So, you know, Aaron Bummer might be a kind of a sneaky candidate for that role. You know, if Ronaldo is in the bullpen, I think you just replace Stevens with him, unless Matzik, you know, the right left stuff matters. Like how many righties, how many lefties you have. You've got Matzik. Well, you might have Matzik, but you have Minter, you have Bummer, you have Lee, and you have Matzik. That's four lefties. That's a lot of lefties.
That's a lot of lefties.
And most bullpens don't carry four lefties. Most, you know, three is kind of the sweet spot, I think, for most teams. At least it has been in the past. Now, obviously, how good those individual pitchers are at getting the opposite-handed hitter out matters, because not everybody is a specialist. A lot of guys can just get both sides out anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But four lefties is a lot. So does Lopez replace Dylan Lee, and they go with Lopez and Jackson Stevens? That's possible. I mean, that's right. That's certainly possible. I mean, I wouldn't rule that out at all. So
if you want to keep all of your options, which is something we've seen them talk about, you know, it's not, I mean, Alex has said, I haven't heard him say it this year, but in the past, it's not about breaking camp with your best 26. Sometimes it's about, you know, keeping as many options available. So, you know, I wonder if we'll get into that, but also I can't remember them paring the bullpen down to where, you know, it appears that it's set this early in camp before. So, you know, there still could be some more moving parts there.
Yeah.
You know, and I will add on that note, I will add, you know, as teams start to pare down their rosters, Braves, we know, have some roster flexibility with the 40-man. Could they add another reliever to the mix off waivers or, you know, as a free agent or whatever as teams pare down? Possible. I don't really have a name for that, you know. So, you know, what we're looking at today might not be what we're looking at in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I would not be surprised at all if they added some sort of swingman, like some sort of like low leverage Josh Tomlin like swingman at some point, just to the 40. That makes a lot of sense. Now, obviously, you got to find a match, but that does make a lot of sense, especially like you said with the open 40-man spots. That would not surprise me at all.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back and talk about the bench.
Support for this show comes from Splunk. Digital systems let businesses do incredible things, but they also introduce plenty of potential points of failure. Disruptions can happen anywhere, at any time. And even with a ton of resources, it's not always easy for businesses to connect the dots quickly. But Splunk can help you get more control. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues quickly, so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. With Splunk's unified security and observability, you can sidestep those disruptions and keep operations humming. You can detect and investigate incidents faster, get guidance to identify root cause, and understand the impact. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. Splunk lets you react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions and build digital resilience with Splunk. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience.
All right, shifting gears to the position player side. I joked about this today, but I think the safest, perhaps the safest position group in Major League Baseball might be the Atlanta Braves catchers. I mean, Travis d'Arnaud, Sean Murphy, there's no drama there. If one of those guys were to get dinged up over the last couple of weeks, Chadwick Tromp's probably the next man up in that scenario. Tromp's not on the 40-man at this point, but, you know, should be headed to Gwinnett. So we'll just skip right over that, but look at it as we start to talk about the bench. Travis d'Arnaud will have one of those spots, you know, when obviously a catcher spot will go there. I've gone back and forth. I've done this. I've tried to project this thing out three times, and I finally, the one I put out today, and please go check that out on the site, is the one I feel the best about, because early on I had them carrying two backup infielders, and then somebody reminded me, you know, they played most of the season last year with one backup infielder. And in my opinion, they've got better outfield options than they do infield options at this point. So this is still going to be an interesting race over the last couple of weeks. Luis Guillorme has a major league deal, but has been banged up and hasn't played much. He just recently returned to the field. So I expect to see him a lot over the last couple of weeks. We've seen a good bit of David Fletcher. He's hit the ball well. He's played all over the infield. For me, this comes down to which of these guys can play shortstop the best. And I feel like that's probably Fletcher. You know, but again, Guillorme has a major league contract. That doesn't necessarily matter, because we saw Jordan Luplow with a major league contract last year not make the club and eventually get DFA'd. Fletcher would have to have a 40-man spot if, you know, in that situation, he could almost take Guillorme's spot if they went that way. But how many infielders do you think they carry here? Do they go one, or, you know, do you think they try to carry two?
Yeah, that last bench spot is always, I mean, ever since these new rules about roster construction and the 26th man and the full-time DH have come along, that last bench spot is so random and it's so hard to figure out because, I mean, let's be honest, that guy is mostly going to be a spectator. You know, outside of an injury, he's a cheerleader basically. So, you know, if I had to guess right now, if you put a gun to my head and said, Steven, best guess right now today, I would say Guillorme's on the team just because he's got a major league contract. They obviously thought enough of him to give a major league contract. You know, if you go by the theory of spring training jersey numbers, you know, Forrest Wall's wearing like 73, David Fletcher's wearing like 64, and Guillorme's wearing like 15.
Right.
And actually, if you go back and look throughout the years, like, that is a pretty good indicator of like what teams think about guys is how ridiculous their jersey numbers are. So if I had to guess right now, I would say that Guillorme is going to be on the team as the only infielder, depending on how they feel about him as a backup shortstop. But he has played shortstop quite a bit this spring, so I'll say that. And then I think they'll go with two outfielders. I think they'll go with like, I think Jordan Luplow's on the team. I really do. I think he mashes left-handed pitching for the most part and has done so at the major league level. And he's had a really good spring. He homered again tonight. I think he's got like an 1100 OPS this spring. And then the last guy, Eli White, Forrest Wall, you could probably flip a coin. They're both fast outfield types. I would probably go one of those two. I'll say Forrest Wall just for the sake of argument. So I will say, if I had to pick today, I will say Luis Guillorme, Forrest Wall, and Jordan Luplow is your bench alongside, you know, obviously Ozuna and d'Arnaud.
Yeah, and I went with Fletcher, but I mean, at this point, I feel like I feel like a lot of people out there were right. It's just going to be Fletcher or Guillaume. You know, if everything stays the same, we've got to put that asterisk out there because, you know, again, somebody new could be added to this mix and it could look a lot different a week from now. I like the carrying the two outfielders in this group just simply, and I agree with you, Jordan Luplow. I think Eli White could have an impact at some point. I think you can stash him at Gwinnett. He, you know, let him play every day. He's had a good spring too. Luplow's shown a little bit more power, especially over the last week or so. But basically, I agree with you. I mean, I've got Fletcher or Guillaume as the backup infielder. I've got Luplow as the backup outfielder. I've got Forrest Wall in that 26th spot for right now as the pinch runner and emergency defensive outfield replacement if you wanted to go that – if you needed to go that route, which honestly, unless somebody's hurt, the Braves shouldn't need to go that route with Kelenic, Harris, and Acuna in the outfield. So, you know, I know Forrest Wall's had a great spring at the plate. I'm not sold that he's going to be able to put up decent offensive numbers at that thing, but I think his legs and his ability to steal bases can give him a role. I don't really know if you need that in a regular season as much, but again, I think it's worth thinking about these things different now because, as you mentioned, there's a DH. The universal DH is here. It changes the calculus a little bit. You're not pinch hitting guys. You know, you're not using one or two pinch hitters every night. In the Braves situation especially, you know, the starters play. They start every game. They play every day. And, you know, they've seldom are subbed out late in the game. But you could see a situation where they're down a run. Sean Murphy gets a single late in the game. Or pinch run, forced wall for him late in the game. So is that worth the roster spot? I don't know. But, you know, I think I can kind of think that's where everything's at. But again, you know, this is another area where I still think they might be able to add a veteran down the stretch here in the spring as they start to pare guys down.
And that's what I was going to say is this is another scenario where, you know, Mr. Outside Hire is very much in play here. There's still not only guys in other camps, but there's still guys on the free agent market, quite honestly, that could fill one of these roles. So, you know, obviously we can only look at what's currently in camp and the guys who are actively on the team and on the roster and choose from them. But, you know, with the last spot in the bullpen, last spot on the bench, I would not be surprised at all if they acquired somebody late in spring. The only other thing I'll say about Guillaume versus Fletcher is Guillaume is left-handed. I feel like there's more situations where if you are going to pitch hit somebody, you're going to go to your, you know, you kind of prefer a lefty off the bench. If you got some nasty righty in the face, Arcia, you know, maybe he's in a slump or something. You want a better matchup. You maybe go to Guillaume for that at bat late in the game. I don't know. And these, you know, with these spots, all you're just kind of come up with scenarios where you might use them because obviously, like you said, the Braves starters play every day. So you're not really thinking about any kind of long-term playing time. You're just thinking of scenarios where you might need a guy. Right. And that's why I've always said Luplow because, you know, there are real scenarios where you might want to pinch hit for Kelenic, you know, late in the game against a tough lefty, you know, Alvarado or somebody comes in. Like, that's a real situation that could happen, you know, the first series of the year. And so I think I'd much rather have Luplow in that situation versus like a Forrest Wall or even like an Eli White, quite honestly. So that's why I've been kind of on the Luplow train all spring. There's just real scenarios where it makes more sense, but we'll see. And again, that's another spot where a guy that's on another roster or on the free agent market could fill that role.
Yeah, and I do want to point this out because I still keep – I've seen comments on the site. I've seen tweets. People mentioning guys like Adam Duvall, Michael A. Taylor. I mean, as you mentioned, there's still some good free agent outfielders out there. But I don't think the Braves are looking at it that way. Number one, we've got the luxury tax situation, obviously, and we know they've probably still got room left because they'll be in the market to add people at the trade deadline. But the playing time thing is the biggest deterrent, you know, because I still feel like if they had been intent that they were going to platoon Jerry Kelenic, I think Kevin Pillar's here. I think he's still here. But I think he went to a situation with the White Sox where he knew he would get an opportunity to play. And, you know, Michael A. Taylor's not coming here to never play. And, you know, Adam Duvall is not coming here to never play. Now, obviously, if they were here, then, you know, you would probably need to reevaluate the situation in left field and really consider that platoon. But at the same time, the Braves have been steadfast that they're going to give Kellen an opportunity to play every day, and we don't have any indication that that plan has changed. You know, obviously it could change, but I think at this point, I think they're going to give him a month, 2 months to try to prove that he can be an everyday major league player. And, you know, these veterans, they've been shut out. Maybe one of them's price drops to the point where, hey, you just can't, avoid it, and they want a chance to win a ring. But I just think it's a stretch, because I feel like, you know, those guys want to play. And I think one of the things that's worked against the Braves is they don't have a role or an opportunity for a guy like that.
Yeah. I talked about this with Sean a couple of weeks ago, but the other thing to consider in that equation is that, you know, the Braves took on $15, $20 million, something like that, in dead money to get Kelnick. Right, like Kelnick doesn't make any money on his own. He's still a league minimum guy, but the Braves do have quite a bit of money invested in him in terms of the acquisition cost. And I don't think you do that. I don't think you take on that kind of dead money just to sign Adam Duvall and stick him in left and never see what Kelnick has. Like, they obviously think they can unlock something with Kelnick, and he hasn't had a good spring. You know, I've said this before as well. I think the guys that are competing for spots, you know, how they do in spring matters more than guys who really aren't competing for spots. Like, I don't care what Max Fried's spring numbers are. I don't care what Matt Olson or Acuna, like guys who aren't competing for spots, you know, they're just working on stuff. I don't think Kelnick's competing for a spot, at least right now. And so I'm not overly concerned with his spring numbers. I just want to see him, you know, when things go live and we get to the regular season. But the Braves invested a lot of dead money into getting him on the roster. So if you're going to just immediately replace him because a guy has a bad spring, then I'm going to have some questions about why you took on $20 million, you know, $15, $20 million in dead money that could have been spilt somewhere else on the roster, you know, just to replace the guy with Adam Duvall in late March. You know, that'd be weird. That would just, that doesn't make any sense. So yeah, I agree with you. I think it's going to be his spot for at least the first half of the season. I think they want to see a large sample of him, and he's got options. Like, he can go to the minors, but you don't spend that kind of money if you're just going to cut bait, you know, because the guy's had a bad 2 weeks in spring training.
Agreed. All right, let's take another quick break, and then we'll come back and wrap this thing up.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Well, just to wrap up here, we didn't talk at all about Ronald Acuna Jr. yet. And, you know, obviously, Braves got a scare when he had the little knee soreness there. He hasn't played since. All reports have been good. He went to California, got checked out. It showed inflammation around the meniscus, which is typical sometimes for, you know, an ACL repair. The way it sounded, as soon as he came back from California, he declared himself ready to go back in the lineup. He's been hitting BP. I don't know if you saw it, but AJ Minter played a pretty good prank on him with a fake snake, and Ronald appeared to be moving pretty good when he was running away from that. If you haven't seen that video, I'm pretty sure it's on the Braves official YouTube channel. Go check that out, because it's hilarious. You know, I'm not worried about Acuna. I expect him probably to be back within the next six, seven days. It sounds like they're just being cautious with him at this point. He's, you know, the reports are he's on the field doing doing everything. He's just not playing in games. I think he might have played in an inter squad over the weekend. I think I saw a video of that. You know, I think the question you and I were talking about was how much time does he need? And, you know, my kind of feeling is probably not that much, honestly.
Yeah. It's so much less important for position players than it is for pitchers. Like spring training, and you know, we kind of touch on this every year, but spring training is mostly for the pitchers to get built up, and to, you know, it takes a long runway to get guys from, you know, not throwing basically at all in the winter to ready to pitch major league games. So spring training is for pitchers essentially, and I think Acuña could probably get ready in about a week, probably less. I mean, honestly, with Ronald, like it. He could probably get into a batter's box. It would take him a couple of swings just to, you know, it's more about timing than anything when you're trying to hit 98, 99. You know, you do have to work on timing. So that's the big thing. So I'm guessing they're going to be ultra conservative with him in spring. I'm guessing they have a plan, you know, start him this day, rest him, start him this day, rest, you know, try to get him some reps. But you know, it's your MVP guy. Like you're not going to use a lot of those bullets in spring training. You're going to do the bare minimum basically to get him ready for opening day. And listen, even if it takes him a couple of weeks into the season to fully lock in, it's a long season. I mean, he doesn't have to be MVP Ronald literally on day one. Just getting him healthy through the season is the most important thing. The numbers will be there at the end. So yeah, I'm not really concerned at all.
Yeah, it was a good thing that it turned out that way. I mean, I know I downplayed it on Twitter, and then, you know, you see that you learn that he's traveling to California, and that, you know, that gave you a little bit of a scare there, because you didn't want him come back and hear that he's having to have a procedure or anything like that. So, but it doesn't sound like there's any concern with it. They're just going to allow it to, you know, to calm down. And, you know, one thing we know about Ronald, you know, he played winter ball. He's training constantly. It's not like he's sitting at home right now not doing anything. You know, he's going through workouts. He's going through live BP. You know, he's getting ready. He's just not playing in the spring game. So I'm not too worried about the situation. Hopefully we'll see him back on the field pretty quickly. We did have a couple of pretty big MLB stories this week. I'm going to try to set this up, and then I want to kind of, yeah, I think you and I want to talk a little bit about free agency, a couple of the free agents that are still out there. But the Yankees learned that Gerrit Cole's going to miss at least 1 to 2 months. He had an MRI. He's going to for a second opinion on treatment and be further evaluated. Doesn't sound like he's got a tear in that elbow or anything. But that's a huge horse for them, and that's a big loss if if he comes out. I mean, it's actually a bad week for the Yankees, because we found out Aaron Judge had an MRI as well. You know, I don't know. I think the thing that happened quickly was it sounded like the Yankees re-engaged the White Sox on Dylan Cease, but then right before we started recording tonight, we've learned that Dylan Cease has been traded to the Padres, which is interesting too. And Padres are trying to stay, you know, above water in the NL West behind with the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks. So Dylan Cease, one of the biggest names on the market all winter, finally is on the move. And I believe in that package. I think you told me there's four prospects, two of the Padres' top 10 prospects. So pretty high price tag, for him, as we expected, after all the rumors and stuff this offseason. But, you know, my question is now, do the Yankees pivot back to Blake Snell, Jordan Montgomery? Why the heck are two of the best free agents on the market still available on March 13th?
Yeah, I mean, you can make an argument, honestly. You can make an argument that Gerrit Cole is the most valuable pitcher to his team in baseball. Like, their entire pitching staff is built around him. Like, they don't have a lot. You know, they signed Stroman. Who knows what you're going to get from Stroman year to year? You know, he's a bit of an enigma. They signed Carlos Rodon, but he's been hurt. Who knows what you're going to get from him? They traded a lot of their young pitching to San Diego in the Soto trade. And so, like, they were counting on Gerrit Cole to be like a horse and 200 plus innings, you know, 6-7 win season. Like, they needed it badly. And so that is a critical injury. Now, we don't know the specifics yet. There was a report out that he's going to be out for 1 to 2 months from Heyman, but then, you know, Passan came back over the top and said any numbers like that are just pure speculation. Don't buy into them. So, you know, who knows? But yeah, I mean, if I'm the Yankees, I call Scott Boras tomorrow and I'm like, hey, whatever Blake Snell wants, here it is. Cause you know, they gave up a lot of young pitching. They gave up a lot from that Soto deal because they were trying to win this year. And now with Aaron Judge hurt, I mean, goodness, that thing just falls apart quickly. And that's a brutal division too, by the way. I mean, the Tampa's great. Baltimore's great. Toronto's really good. Boston kind of sucks. But, you know, other than that, I mean, that's a really good division. Like, you're not going to win that division with 85 wins. You're going to need 100 wins to win that division at least. So, yeah, that's brutal. That's maybe the worst possible injury for any one team in baseball is the Yankees losing Gerrit Cole. And then Dylan Cease, yeah, that's weird. AJ Preller is the weirdest GM I've ever seen, honestly. I honestly think he's just throwing darts, blindfolded at a dartboard at this point. They've had a really weird offseason. They have no outfielders, essentially, other than Tatis. They have a really good infield, but they have, you know, they traded Soto. They really haven't added at any rate. Like, why are you going to trade for Dylan? Like, go add Adam Duvall or somebody to play in the out. You know, it's just a weird team. And they do this thing where they always have a good farm system. I'll give them credit. It's the one thing they're good at. They trade them all away for stars that immediately don't do anything. And then they kind of start the whole process over again. So I don't know. That's a weird trade to me. I mean, good for the White Sox. I think the White Sox ended up getting, I think you said, two of their top 10 guys. And then I think the other two guys were both in the top 20. So is it, you know, the White Sox reportedly were asking for the moon all offseason. And it never made any sense to me for the White Sox to start the year with Cease on their roster. I mean, his value is never going to be higher than it is right now. And if he got hurt or if he started pitching like crap, like you're just flushing value down the toilet for no good reason when you're going to be that's like the worst team in baseball this year. They might lose 110 games. Like, there's no reason like Dylan Cease needs to be on that roster. So I like it a lot more for the White Sox than I do for the Padres. Honestly, it's just a weird fit, but you know, that's AJ Preller for you. But yeah, some significant stuff happening. And you know, you and I can get into this debate on the guys who are still in the free agent market. I have no idea. I have no idea how Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery are still on the market. That makes no sense to me.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know. I think sometimes us in the media will try to play both sides of the fence about this, because when a team hands out a stupid contract, we're quick to say, God, that was a stupid contract. But then at the same time, we're kind of critical when a team won't spend money for a guy like Blake Snell or even a Jordan Montgomery. I think it's an interesting situation. I think Scott Boras kind of overplayed his hand this year. You know, I don't know. I don't want to suggest that there's some collusion going on, but I do wonder if, like, this is a situation where a lot of teams have said, we're going to stand up to you. We've already seen Matt Chapman take the a shorter deal with a ton of opt-outs. I think I would not be shocked if if that's not what he's shopping now for Montgomery and Snell. It doesn't sound like the Yankees are interested in that because of their tax situation. But, you know, I think, as you said, before we started recording, I mean, you know, you're past the point now where you have to wonder if either of these guys would be ready for opening day. And, you know, I mean, I'm sure they're throwing bullpens. They may even be facing hitters, but they're not facing major league quality hitters. You know, it's just a weird situation, you know, as far as that goes. But, I mean, I think when you look at both of them, yes, Blake Snell was a Cy Young winner last year. Jordan Montgomery was a key piece of that Texas Ranger World Series championship. But at the same time, you look at a lot of the underlying numbers, you know, there's some things that make you raise your eyebrow a little bit and think, is this the guy that we want to give 7 years, $200 million to? You know, I don't know. I don't know about that. So I'm as shocked as anybody. I can't believe these two guys are still available on March 13th. And the crazy thing is, you just don't hear a whole lot of buzz about them. And, You know, it's not like there's a ton of teams, you know, competing to sign for them, because if that was the case, they'd already be signed. So, you know, I'm wondering if this makes, if the Cole thing ends up being worse than what we've heard, I wonder if that forces the Yankees' hand. And then I also wonder, you know, what kind of pressure is on Snell, Montgomery, and Scott Boras for these guys to sign. I mean, we've seen them take them. We've seen, you know, the Braves famously signed Dallas Keuchel deep into the season, I think because nobody wanted to pay the draft pick. I think that played a part in it. But, you know, which team is going to have an injury now and it forces them to blink a little bit, you know, as far as getting these guys?
Well, and that's what's crazy is that we've seen some pretty significant injuries in spring training. Like, you know, the Mets lost Kodai Senga. The Red Sox lost Giolito. Obviously, the Yankees are going through it now with Cole. The Orioles lost a couple of their guys early. Like, you know, the scenario you say, if you're a free agent guy and your agent is saying, hey, let's wait till spring to sign because somebody's going to get an injury and then we're going to have all the leverage. Well, that's happened. Like, we've had significant, like, top of the rotation guys go down and, you know, are looking at missing months and months of the season. And there's still no deal to be, like, that's the weird part is, like, you know, if you're Blake Snell, if you're Jordan Montgomery, you're looking around at some of these significant injuries. You're thinking this is the scenario that we were, you know, kind of banking on to get all the leverage. Well, here it is. And we still don't have a deal. Like, you know, that's what's crazy. And yeah, I mean, I have no idea if these guys are throwing live bullets. I mean, I don't know what the kind of standard is when you're a free agent and you don't have a contract. Like, I don't know how hard you're actually going to go in the offseason, you know, without any money attached to your name. I mean, a lot of guys don't want to throw until they have a contract because if they get hurt, then they've cost themselves millions of dollars. So I don't know. It's wild, but I can't believe, I mean, there's so many teams in baseball that could use either one of these guys. I'm stunned. And not even these, not just these guys. Like, I haven't heard anything about Tommy Pham. I haven't heard anything about Adam Duvall. Like, there's major league level outfielders and a ton of teams that could use major league level outfielders. And, like, I've heard nothing. It's weird. It's really weird.
Yeah. JD Martinez is still out there. And I mean, I know he's an older guy and he's a DH, but he had a great season with the Dodgers last year. You know, the only reason he's not in Los Angeles now is because they went out and got Ohtani. Yeah, I mean, I believe that. I believe had that not happened, I think the Dodgers would have probably wanted to keep him, you know, in the mix as their DH. So, you know, it's weird. It's a weird offseason. Yeah, I don't know. I think, you know, it's a situation where all the teams have models now. And, you know, and I think they're being smarter. And not necessarily, as we know, you know, it's the old school versus new school debate. That isn't always the best thing for some players, you know, when teams get smart. So it's going to be fascinating to see how that ends up. I expect both of those guys to be signed soon at some point. But I've been saying that now for what? We've been saying that now for probably since December. So, you know, we just figured when Ohtani signed that was going to open the floodgate, and it just hasn't materialized, you know, for this group of guys. So I think that's going to wrap us up. You got anything else you want to hit before we get out of here?
Nope. Yeah, just we're still kind of tracking the position battles in camp. There's not many of them, quite honestly. It's a pretty set roster. But, yeah, but just the home stretch, like you said, I thought you put it well. It's kind of the dog days of the last couple of weeks of spring training are kind of the dog days. Although I will say spring training, I feel like has actually gone by pretty quickly this year versus other years. But yeah, we're coming up on it. It won't be too long now.
All right. And I think that's going to wrap us up. We will see you guys again next week.
Support for this show comes from Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. With Splunk, you get more control with unified security and observability, so you can sidestep those disruptions. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast, so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. Some of the world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. Splunk lets you react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience.